We're excited you're all on board with us today. A lot happening here. Anne Vandersteel will be joining us in about 5 minutes to break down her latest report. She's been digging into the Epstein files, and there's a couple of things that were on her radar that she wanted to make sure you all at home knew about. And so we look forward to having her on in just a few moments. As many of you guys know, Anne is a information war correspondent. And so this is obviously something we want her to dive into for all of us. So we look forward to talking to her in just a little bit. But I wanted to make sure you guys saw this body cam footage because it's actually quite jarring. Of course, and no surprise here, there was an attack on a Bellevue police officer. This was just a few days ago. And the suspect who randomly pulls out a knife and starts going after the officer. Get this, drum roll, please. First name, Mohammed. Take a listen.
It was on December 12th around noon in Bellevue when the 911 center received a call reporting a man and a woman were fighting at the Bellevue Transit Center downtown. Officers' body cameras are rolling as they respond within 6 minutes. When they contact the 911 caller, he makes a statement about Bellevue police making false allegations against him. Listen close.
A false case on me.
Are you the one that called about the DV? That happened right now?
The TV?
No, DV. And are people arguing?
Yes.
You called about that?
Yes.
Okay, let's get to that first, and then we go to the second part.
Yeah, so
you said to dispatch, you saw two people arguing.
That things are about to go out of control. Watch closely and you'll see the suspect, Mohammed Bangura, pull a knife out of his jacket and lunge at the officers. Let's watch it from another perspective. This is the perspective from the officer who was slashed in the head and then stabbed in the back. When the video is paused, you can see Bangura standing over him with the knife right in the split second before the other officer shoots Bangura. Bellevue police raced to help the officers. Once they got him into custody, they recovered this knife.
Yeah, obviously, folks, this is not surprising. This is what happens when you bring these people in. He was the one who made the false call, obviously, and was trying to set officers up to be killed. Again, this is what happened. This is an ambush. This is an ambush. And this is what happens. This is what's happening, not just here in the United States. I mean, to be naive to argue that. This is happening all across the world. It's happening all across the world. Now, again, according to reports, he did survive. He was taken to the hospital. He's released from the hospital, booked into the King County Jail with a bail of $5 million. Prosecutors have since charged him with assault in the first degree and assault in the second degree. I mean, what an absolute garbage. You probably should hit him with a terrorism charge. They, of course, don't disclose what the motive was. But you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what the motive is there. And again, this is what's happening all across the country. I mean, if we didn't have body cams, guys, how many of you would probably believe that this just randomly happened? Not many. Not many. Law enforcement has like a split second decision to make there. And obviously his colleague decides to jump in and help him out, his buddy, who's about to be killed. How do you even see that? You don't. You don't. Just another reminder that when law enforcement have their body cams going, the American people see exactly what's under attack right now, and that is that we have a bunch of terrorists running around this country trying to slaughter innocent people. How unfortunate that he survived. Now taxpayer dollars are going to have to go towards what? Helping him? Probably legal fees, I'd assume. Keeping him alive? Having to feed him? Unfortunate. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off site-wide. It's our mega sale, and it ends in just a few hours. So you got to stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off. I haven't seen savings like this since Christmas time. Your favorite items, 52% off this week also. The final week where you can win those two cars, the Ford Mustang and the Ford F-250, plus $20,000 in cash. Every time you make a purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, you enter to win one of those.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is the American Journal with Brianna Morello.
You're all jumping on board with us today. If it matters to the American people, it matters to us. And that's the reason why we're not letting up on the Epstein files. As many of you guys know, more information has been uncovered as millions of documents have made their way to the intranet. Now, obviously, the DOJ had its work cut out for them, and we obviously do have our criticisms. But folks, give credit where credit's due. At least we got our hands on, what, 3.2 million documents. Yeah, it's heavily redacted. Yes, yes, yes. But we are sifting through all of that. And it's not just the great folks on the internet doing that, but it's all of our incredible independent journalists. And that includes our next guest. Anne Vandersteel joins the show. She is an information war correspondent. And so she's the perfect girl to put on the task when it comes to dissecting the Epstein files. And it is an honor, of course, always to have her on the show. You could follow her on X at Anne Vandersteel. She does an incredible job at digging into all of this. And it's great to have you back on the show. I know you've been working on digging into the latest emails that have made their way onto the internet, as well as the release that came from the DOJ. And there's a lot that you've uncovered so far. So give us your latest report.
Thanks, Brianna. Great to be with you. You know, I look at everything through the lens of the Constitution, and that is my guiding lamppost every single day. I keep a copy right here on my desk because without this, who are we as a nation? And frankly, our nation is under such attack, and the Epstein files are revealing a lot of the sort of vectors of attack. And one of the areas that I wanted to focus in on today, specifically with you, is an area that I've been talking about now for several months, and it is a matter of national security, and it connects through the intelligence community, and it ties directly into Wall Street. So, you know, one of the areas that we really need to focus on, frankly, is the premise that increasingly our United States financial system is impacted because it is a matter of national security. And frankly, you have to look at market structure failures. And this is what we're seeing. For instance, just look at what's happening with silver, right? We've watched silver take a meteoric rise, and then it was systematically attacked while the physical price in Asia remained at about a delta of $30 or $40 per ounce higher than the paper price here. And of course, the market structure failures that were happening here, because they didn't have the actual silver to back it up, threatened liquidity, it threatens retirement systems, it threatens our dollar, and of course, the global confidence in our own United States market exchanges. This extends way beyond investors. And so U.S. markets, I want to set the stage here because it's really critical, underpin our U.S. markets basically underpin all of our country's sovereign credibility and any political leverage we have around the world. In other words, any large-scale settlement failure, sort of like we saw what happened with Enron, or structural breakdown, like we saw what happened with Lehman Brothers, these can carry very big, massive ripple effects and systemic implications. So when you look at everything through that framework and you examine the regulatory governance, the intelligence connections, and the ongoing problems we see in the markets where shareholders are disputing the fact that their stock has been under attack by naked short selling, you then understand that, you know, we do have a very big problem in our government, in our regulatory framework, and in the agencies that are supposed to protect the individual. So let me start with FINRA, because FINRA, The Financial Regulatory Authority is a self-regulatory regulating organization. It's supposed to be operating under the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission's oversight. But, you know, when you think about it, having an independent agency being governed by a government agency, really, when you start to look at it and break it down and you understand what's been happening, you will see that it provides plausible deniability. And this is where Catherine Ruemmler enters. This is a lady who has fallen under scrutiny recently in the Epstein files. But getting back to FINRA, just so you're clear, FINRA regulates broker-dealers. It oversees trading activity. It includes the over-the-counter securities where a lot of these shenanigans go on. And its board of governors includes public members and industry representatives. And it's all done, you know, by statutory design. So Catherine Ruemmler, who is she? She served as an industry governor on FINRA's board since 2021. At the same time, she also served as chief legal officer for Goldman Sachs, one of the largest broker dealers regulated by FINRA. That is a massive conflict of interest, and I'll get to that in a minute. But before she did all this, she served in senior roles at the Department of Justice from 2004 to 2009. She was heavily involved in the Enron scandal. From 2011 to 14, she was the White House counsel under Obama. She managed multiple executive branch responses, such as Benghazi, et cetera. And there's new documents that have surfaced to further context her post-White House relationships, such as a January 8th, 2015 email showing Ruemmler writing that John Brennan gave her the CIA Agency Medal, which is the CIA's highest award. And she writes in this email that she received this, and she says, "How cool is that?" Now, let's just think about that for a second, Brianna, because this is the intelligence community, which we now know has been working with intelligence agencies like Mossad and others around the world to usurp governments, basically conduct color revolutions over the past 20 some years, leveraging, you know, Dominion voting systems or the Smartmatic base operating system. This is all well documented. And at that time when she received that medal, John Brennan, he was the director of the CIA. There was another email dated on December 29th of 2015, including a reference to visiting the CIA or NSA facilities. So essentially what you're seeing here is documents are confirming that Catherine Ruemmler received formal recognition from the CIA. She maintained communications referencing U.S. intelligence agencies. Though they don't give any real evidence of misconduct related to her work at FINRA or any market decisions, you can clearly say that these documents establish basically a tie between the current FINRA industry governor and senior intelligence leadership. And again, our financial markets have been classified under a matter of national security. They are protected. So these board members that sit on FINRA, they're not supposed to be managing day-to-day enforcement or trading halts. Those are handled by the FINRA staff. Okay. What I want to get to is the market integrity, because it is framed as a national security infrastructure. The intersection of intelligence networks and the executive branch service and major financial institutions and regulatory governments, when you combine all of these things where Catherine Ruemmler has straddled over the so many past years, now you have an issue that is institutional concentration of influence, basically what I would call a serious conflict of interest. I can go on because I want to layer in Gary Gensler, but I want to pause here for a second, Brianna, and see if you had any questions on that.
No, I think you're doing an incredible job at delivering all of this, and I would let you take the floor. I mean, this is a breakdown that I haven't seen so far, so you've got my attention, girl.
Okay, great deal. So now let's talk about the Securities Exchange Commission, because Gary Gensler served as the chair of the SEC from April of 21 through January of 25. Before that, he was with the Commodities Future Trade Commission, the CFTC, during the Obama administration. And he also served as the chief financial officer for the Hillary Clinton 2008 presidential campaign. He also even taught later at, he taught financial technology and blockchain at MIT. So both Ruemmler and Gensler, they both had senior roles during the Obama administration between 2011 and 2014. Ruemmler at the White House counsel and Gensler as CFTC chair. Now, remind you, the overlap is a matter of public record, but it doesn't establish any sort of coordination of specific enforcement actions. But it does present that it situates current regulatory governance within a network of prior executive and financial leadership roles. So just pausing on Gensler, note this, that during the period of time when he was CFO for the Hillary Clinton campaign, we also had the Russia scandal, the Steele dossier, Perkins Coie. As the chief financial officer, he oversaw transactions, money that was going out of the campaign to pay for certain elements. We know the campaign was paying Perkins Coie, who also paid for the Steele dossier. So this is a direct tie between Gary Gensler and the Steele dossier, something that I would believe President Trump would find of interest. Here's where we tie in President Trump and the current market controversies that are surrounded, currently ongoing. Trump Media Technology and Technology Group, TMTG, was trading under the ticker symbol DJT. They have publicly alleged naked short selling. Now, if you don't know what that is, naked short selling refers to selling shares without first borrowing or locating them, potentially resulting in what's called a settlement failure or a failure to deliver. Those practices, Brianna, are regulated by the SEC under Regulation SHO, S-H-O. As of now, there's been no public enforcement action concluding any unlawful naked short selling occurring in DJT, despite the fact that Devin Nunes, the CEO, has raised the issue a number of times, including pointing to another concerning situation under the MMTLP ticker. This is also a separate but related dispute. MMTLP, they were an OTC traded security. They were tied to a corporate action involving another company by the name of NextBridge Hydrocarbons. And on December 9th and 22, FINRA issued what's called a U3 trading halt. And this is really extraordinary because that sort of a halt doesn't just happen. And if it does, it usually resumes trading within a matter of hours or days. It has still been halted since December of 22. That security was then deleted. They actually deleted this security. Now, mind you, there were hundreds of thousands of shareholders, at least 100,000 here in the U.S. that we know of, that had their life savings or a good portion of their savings in this account, in this ticker that was halted, and they've been unable to get their money out. Some of these shareholders actually allege that that halt interfered with the price discovery of what the stock should be trading. And it also prevented anybody who had created naked shorts. And believe me, there are evidence of massive naked short selling by Wall Street insiders that never got reconciled. So when they sold those stocks that they never actually owned, they got paid for that. They never had to reconcile and buy the stock back in order to complete the trade. So they walked away with millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions. And FINRA, what did they do? Mind you, Kathleen Rumler is on the board there. They stated the halt was based on a settlement risk connected to any corporate action timelines. So resolving those completing claims would have required access to consolidated audit trail data. They would have access to blue sheets, which would track every single thing that happened to any stock anywhere. And all of those records still remain under regulatory control. They should be FOIA-able. People should be able to present a Freedom of Information Act request to get this information. That has not materialized. So again, you know, we have massive fraud occurring here across Wall Street. FINRA, the independent regulatory agency, that's independent of the government, is sort of the go-between or the buffer to the SEC. So a lot of these shareholders at MMTLP, they assert that the total share counts actually originally exceed the original float that was out there. And they're looking at, you know, basically broker reported data from TradeStation, Schwab, Vision Financial. And of course, some of the shareholding-led model estimates these shares between approximately 800 million and 1.2 billion shares. Mind you, there was only 163 million or so shares originally issued. So a massive amount of shares were created synthetically and sold and pocketed. And of course, FINRA knows all this. They halted the shares. In fact, they did this after the SEC received an email, Brianna, from the Wall Street members in a trade organization that said, hey, we need you to stop an S-1 filing, because if that goes through for NextBridge Hydrocarbons, all of our Wall Street buddies, I'm paraphrasing here, mm-hmm. that are naked shares, holding naked shares right now, will be exposed. So this is a massive failure in the system that results in instability in the markets. It results in shareholder lack of confidence in the markets. But again, this is a massive retail dispute to what we would call a systemic settlement risk. And when this risk intersects with these institutions that operate with an intelligence-recognized national security frameworks, you have to believe that government transparency is absolutely critical, which is why these Epstein files are important. But to your point, Brianna, we need to allow the public to digest all of this for those that want to wade into all of this information and start to draw their own conclusions and use their own conclusions to drive more Freedom of Information Act requests into the government, specifically into these agencies. I know people are doing it, and I know people are also being stymied by the Freedom of Information Act requests. Then they're not getting the document production. And this is a real problem because we're not seeing the transparency.
Yeah, I mean, and just to give some background too, I did request from the Bureau of Prisons, which is run under the DOJ, and it is an agency that you can submit FOIA requests for. I did request the recordings of Jeffrey Epstein's last phone calls, and I received a response. Yeah, the response I received from the Bureau of Prisons was, we don't have any records of that, and so they never gave it to me, and I have not yet seen that in the Epstein files as well. And I think, I know it's a little off topic, but the reason why I was wanting that information is I wanted to hear specifically his tone of voice. Everyone sits there and they're, you know, going back and forth and debating whether or not Epstein killed himself. Well, let's listen to what his tone of voice was when he was on his final calls. Many people know he was shuffled over to make his phone call and then went back to his cell where he later allegedly killed himself. That's according to our own government, so spare me. But it's right. One of the many layers that we're looking for information on, and they put it in writing. They don't have record of it, and they didn't hand anything over to me, and I haven't yet seen that audio recording release. So it's one of the many layers to all of this. Again, folks, if you're just joining us, this is Ann Vandersteel. She is an incredible information war correspondent. You can follow her on X at Ann Vandersteel is where you could find her. Ann, you just outlined a bunch of incredible accusations. And I know you've done your digging into all of this, and you've spent hours going through all the information, dissecting it and connecting the dots. Has there ever been any federal investigations into any of the accusations you just laid out for us? Because that would be the checks and balance that we're supposed to have from our federal government.
You know, Brianna, that would be probably too much to ask at this point, considering what we're getting out of the people that were formerly in the government for a short period of time. Instead of getting information, we're getting insults and we're being pandered to. And so, no, there has been no federal investigations into any of this. In fact, they've done everything they possibly can to cover this up. This goes to the systemic threat of our financial system on a national security level. And when you have wholesale liquidation of companies that are destroyed, companies that actually had technology that had they had contracts with NASA, with the Federal Reserve and other agencies of the government that are of a national security level deliverable. When those companies are liquidated and sold and the IP is sold for 10 cents on the dollar to our foreign enemies such as China, then you have to step back and ask yourself, what is the government really doing to conduct business on behalf of the American people? Are they really looking out for our best interest, or are they conducting business on their own best interest? Are they self-serving? And if you look at all these pieces, because there is no government investigation going on into any of this, and we can't seem to get the DOJ to pay attention to this, President Trump has been threatened, his own company, by the same exact, you know, existential threat of naked short selling. If he was to look at MMTLP as sort of a parallel of what's going on and all of the data that has been collected on MMTLP, including the FOIAs that actually delivered emails that prove there was collusion between Wall Street and the financial institutions of the SEC to cover their tracks and protect Wall Street, he could actually, you know, save his own company. But again, that's Devin Nunes' call at this point, because President Trump is off looking at the United States and in the big picture of what he's got to do to save America. But frankly, I don't see anything in this government, Brianna, that is coming anywhere close to protecting the American investor or, frankly, the American period. This is, again, a wholesale liquidation of America.
Yeah, and Anna, I want to dive into this at greater length, too, when we come back from the break, because I want to go through what the big PR push now from those on the left is as well, because right now, they're trying their best to pin this all on President Trump, the whole Epstein file dump. Right. And I think it's crazy when you look at all the information. I mean, the two key players that you just outlined all have ties to the Obama regime. And for some reason, they continue to. And it's what Democrats actually do really well at. They do a great job at changing the words and manipulating the narrative through their choice of words. And so they're doing it. But when we sit back and we watch as Democrats continue to push the Trump administration and throw them under the bus for all of this, are you at least kind of surprised? Because they're making it very clear that I think the PR-wise are doing a good job at disassociating themselves with a lot of what you just outlined here. and pinning this on President Trump. Are you surprised as how they've been able to execute all of this? And it's really gone unchallenged by many.
No, Norm Eisen has really led the brigade on wordsmithing all of this and changing the narrative. They come out with their yearly documents to show you how they're going to attack us from the inside, you know, this year. And nothing, we don't seem to take a page out of their book very well, yeah, and get coordinated on the messaging, because everybody on the conservative base is smarter than the next guy. And instead of collaborating and working together, we tend to work individually, which, again, that's great. I love the fact that we have free thinkers out there, but we really need to do a better job of supporting the bigger narrative that's occurring right now. And again, the left does that so beautifully. You pointed that out. And I'd have to give credit to Norm Eisen. Frankly, he has been the leader in this. My good friend and your friend, Mel Kay, has talked about this extensively, yeah, that Norm Eisen really is a problem. But we could learn a lot from him if we reverse engineered and sort of created our own wall of 4 a.m. talking points. Instead, we're getting bogged down with the Nancy Guthrie story. And, you know, how many narratives have we taken our eye off the ball, including the Save America Act? We'll never get that passed. The border story is dead. ICE is dead. All these things are dead. And it wasn't for you bringing some of this back up into the media ethos, we wouldn't know what's going on. We'd be consumed with Nancy Guthrie. So again, no disrespect to a woman that's missing, but yeah, is she really missing, or is this another media distraction?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing too, Anne. And if it was one of our loved ones who went missing, there wouldn't be 24-hour yeah news coverage on that. And
no,
I know it's devastating, and you feel for her, and you really hope that they could find her mother and she's in good health. But I mean, we have thousands of children missing. And, you know, I was very thankful because Tom Homan over the weekend finally gave us another update in regards to their efforts to relocate those children that went missing. And you and Michael Yon, I mean, you guys were blowing the whistle on this for years under the Biden regime. And sadly, mm-hmm, everyone was looking the other way on this. But so far, he claims they've recovered 145,000 children, which is great. And the ballpark yeah figure of how many migrant children are missing are north of 400,000 that went missing under the Biden regime. So it's one of those warming stories that we've been able to find these many children. Of course, it's just a drop in the bucket compared to many who are gone. But it's a big point in all of this. But, you know, they've done an incredible job at distracting the American people. And I want to keep right you here because I want to throw a couple more things your way as we continue to talk about the PR shift that those on the left continue to do. We're going to play clips from Reid Hoffman, who is doing his best to distance himself from this Epstein scandal. In fact, talking about how much fun it was to go to Epstein Island, and he should have done a Google search prior to making his way over there. He's full of garbage, but you got to hear it for yourself. Plus, we'll also talk about how Hillary Clinton is trying to distance herself from all of this. She knows that it's way too deep for her at this point, as another cover-up that the Clintons have to try to participate in is underway. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. And stay tight, because I want you to be here for that, and I want to hear your reaction. Again, folks, we have Anne Vandersteel on with us right now. She's an information war correspondent. You could follow her on X for great reporting like this, at Anne Vandersteel as well. I also want to tell our audience, too, we got a couple more hours left on that incredible sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to stop what you're doing and head on over there. It is 52% off. These are some of the lowest prices we've ever had on the website. I don't think we've ever touched this since Christmas. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Those energy shots that I cannot shut up about, those are on sale right now. 52% off. It's an incredible deal. Normally for the price of two, I think I spent about $100 on those. Now you get three and it's the same cost. I mean, the discounts are incredible. You got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and take a look for yourself. Methylene Blue, I know everyone loves that. That is also incredibly inexpensive right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, you keep us on air, and you help our next project in this information battle. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're joined by Amy Vandersteel. Many of you guys know she's an incredible independent journalist, and she was doing a lot of great reporting on all things related to Epstein and then bringing it back to the Wall Street angle, which obviously we greatly appreciate. It's original reporting that you won't see anywhere else. So that's why you got to give her a follow on X at Ann Vandersteel. And Ann, you know, I wanted to get your reaction to this because Reid Hoffman is actually speaking out. He was asked during a podcast about his appearance at Epstein Island, and he had quite the defense in clip 11. Take a listen.
Just to be clear here, you're saying that your relationship with him came strictly through fundraising for the MIT Foundation. Yeah. Is it accurate to say, and I don't have the article up in front of me, that you've also, as part of that, went to the island, like you were on Jeffrey's island?
Well, because this was part of what Joey asked me to do is say, hey, Jeffrey said that he's more likely to give money if you would come and visit with me. I'm like, well, I'm coming to Boston. I'll go through wherever this place is on the way to Boston, right?
What was the island like?
Like I was there for a night. It was like, okay, there was a courtyard. There was a set of boardroom. There was like a bunch of guest rooms. There was a pool.
you go to a lot of like there are a lot of private, like you're going to fancy random people's islands like frequently or like how unusual?
Well, that was the first time I've gone to an island. I've gone to a couple since then. That was again, part of the reason why, like, you know, note to self, Google before going, right?
I don't think any of this is funny, and I think it's actually disturbing that they're doing all of this and laughing it off. It was also posted on X, by the way, that Reid Hoffman was trying to go after Elon Musk about his alleged ties to Epstein, which are nothing that we've seen as legitimate or I guess has any hint towards Elon Musk participating in the sexual abuse of children. And then the fact checkers actually weighed in because Hoffman was trying to claim that he was cleared by the FBI. And fact checkers saying, that's not exactly true. You haven't been cleared by the FBI. It's also worth noting, you know, Reid over there is trying to be dismissive about his involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. And he says, well, he went to Epstein Island because it was about the money. Reid Hoffman's net worth is around $2.6 billion. That's according to Forbes. So, and I'm scratching my head wondering, how is a guy who's worth $2.6 billion just so desperate for spare change that he's hanging out with a convicted pedophile over at Epstein Island?
Yeah, right. I mean, and then, like you said, to be so dismissive of it, like it was, you know, all in the day's work, no big deal. I'll just buzz down there on my way to Boston. You know, I just want to make a little personal here because during COVID in 2020, mm-hmm. I had a really big, robust LinkedIn account. Mm-hmm. I paid for it. It was $60 a month to have that account so I could communicate and email and so on and so forth. And it was a gold mine for me from when it came to insiders in the government that were sending me information. Yeah, there were some definite, you know, should we say intelligence operators trying to misdirect, but I got a lot of really good information, including Rudy Contreras, the FISA court judge who stepped down after General Flynn was, resigned as the NSA under Trump administration in 2017. And, you know, I learned a lot of things about how money laundering was going on using mortgage fraud, et cetera. Now, Reid Hoffman, right? When I started getting the information and somebody sent me the actual patent for SARS-CoV-2 that had, you know, the Rothschilds attached to it. It had Burroughs Wellcome attached to it, the Wellcome Trust. It had Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation attached to it, Rockefeller. And then it looked, you could see all of the different viruses that were basically, you know, sort of mixed in with this SARS-CoV-2, this, you know, the soup, if you will. That mm-hmm. patent came out in 2015, and I posted it, and it got hundreds of thousands of shares, Brianna. Reid Hoffman had my account taken down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they didn't want the truth out there. So to now learn that Reid Hoffman is so nonchalant about this, right? This is the same guy who funded, you know, the lawsuit against Trump mm-hmm. with that crazy lady. What was her name?
We all know. Yeah.
Sorry?
She claimed that she was a well-known actress, but both of you,
Gene Carroll. Gene Carroll. It just came to me. Gene Carroll. He helped fund that crazy lawsuit against President Trump. This guy also went to, besides going to Epstein Island, he went to New Mexico, Zorro Ranch. He went over to see Epstein in his mansion. He was writing to Epstein back in 2015, even after Prince Andrew's scandal dropped. And he was trying to help manage this sort of negative press coverage to kind of keep up and cover up the trafficking of minors. All this stuff is under Reid Hoffman's auspices. I mean, this is who he is. And to see him sit there and be just so blasé about the whole thing and la-di-da just goes to tell you that these people have always seen themselves above us. There's the elite and then there's the rest of us. And frankly, we're here at their disposal. That's how they see it. And they have no problem about literally telling you what they're doing because they don't think they're doing anything wrong. And that to me is very problematic because these are the people who ostensibly think they're running the country. When in fact, if you look around at our agencies and our government, we are a corporatocracy. We are influenced by the biggest dollars coming in. And it's not happening at the executive branch so much as it's happening out in these agencies, which nowhere in our Constitution, especially under Article 1, Section 8, do you find any of these agencies listed as mm-hmm. things that Congress should have domain over. And this is hugely problematic. We're not governed by the people, Brianna. We're governed by these so-called elites that are nothing but fat slobs and pigs.
Yeah, well, I was actually just going to say, and I know this is stealing your joke, but I was actually just going to say the one good thing to come out of that Reid Hoffman clip is that he looks like found Ozempic. And so we could be thankful for at least that.
It's true. I did text you that this morning.
He did. I was like, I'm going to steal it if Ann doesn't run with this one. It was a good joke, Ann. Very good joke.
He did probably find it.
Yes, yes, he did. I want to turn to clip 12, too, because, you know, Hillary Clinton's doing her best to distance herself from the Epstein saga that's going on right now. All the outed documents that are being dumped onto the web, obviously. There's a lot of internal emails going back and forth. She wants to pretend and downplay a lot of this, and I don't think it's going to go over well for her. But let's take a listen to clip 12.
Do you regret the links that there have been? You know, we have no links. We have a very clear record that we've been willing to talk about, which my husband has said. He took some rides on the airplane for his charitable work. I don't recall ever meeting him.
Did you ever meet Ghislaine Maxwell?
I did on a few occasions, and thousands of people go to the Clinton Global Initiative. So it to me is not something that is really at the heart of what this matter is about. They are accused and in both cases were convicted of horrific crimes against girls and women. That should be the focus.
That should be the focus. Obviously, she's trying to distance the Clinton name from all of this. Your reaction to hearing her PR push to distance herself from any of this as she's supposed to speak in front of Congress very soon?
Girl, please. That's what I have to say to that. I mean, look, the Clintons should, you know, they really are in contempt of Congress by not showing up to discuss this in an orderly fashion, mm-hmm. you know, weeks ago. So to sit here and watch Hillary Clinton sit there and again, just like she's standing by her man, we can all remember when the Monica Lewinsky stuff came out and she sat there in the Today Show studio and literally did a Tammy Wynette stand by her man, just absolutely saying it didn't happen. It's not true. And today she's obviously could care less that we all know it to be true. It's the same performance here. This is performance art by nothing but criminals. And, you know, that are still part of a very infected RICO criminal cabal, which is known as our United States government. Just because the Clintons aren't there doesn't mean that the Clinton Foundation and all of its tentacles still aren't very involved in destroying America. And I look forward to seeing what happens in Congress. But, you know, similar to Trey Gowdy with the gavel in Benghazi, just like she said, what difference does it make at this time? That horrible, you know, screeching voice at that moment when we'd had our own members slaughtered and set up by the government, by Hillary Clinton herself, who ignored all the warning signs. Brianna, I don't know what else to say. I mean, you can go back and just go through the list of everything that Hillary Clinton has been involved in, including 19,000 Swiss bank accounts of money laundering that somehow disappeared when the Hillary Clinton Secretary of State caught on and that money disappeared. But the Clinton Foundation Global Initiative seemed to, you know, take on millions. It's just the same old song and dance from a habitual liar and a sociopath.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's pretty frustrating to see go on. And, you know, we continue to weigh in on all these topics. And I know the American people are outraged by what the Clintons have been able to get away with. No real investigations, no real looking into any of this. And the rest of us are just forced to just continue to go out there and try to put this information out there into the public sphere and hope that eventually at some point someone will be outraged enough to do something about it. But again, they have some type of immunity and it's really frustrating to sit back and watch. And it's even more frustrating because our president currently is even defending Hillary, which is a real head scratcher for most. And before you go, I wanted to make sure that we brought this up. It's an email regarding the FBI that they internally were sending around about the data that they've obtained from Jeffrey Epstein's multiple properties. It looks like they had, 14.6 terabytes worth of data. And based on what we've released so far, it looks like maybe only 2% has been put out there. Can the American people be confident that we've received everything? I mean, I don't trust the government. I know you don't either. But what's your take on all of that?
No. We haven't received everything, not even close. And the fact of the matter is, look, I mean, just go through the scandals and the assassinations mm-hmm. over the course of history. We're never going to get it all. That's just the way it works. This government is a closed operation. It is us versus them. It is no longer left versus right. And the FBI has done nothing more than just continue to cover up yet another scandal. I mean, we can go back in recent history, Charlie Kirk. You know, in 33 hours, they have the quotes assassin, and we still don't know answers to some scandals that go back decades. How is it we have the forensic ability to get this stuff, but we don't ever materialize it. And this, you know, this recent incantation is, I think, to the it's the tipping point for America, Brianna. Americans, while some may not be as outraged as you and me, others are just like, you know what? I'm not voting anymore. And that goes on the left and the right, because there's nothing that they believe they're going to get from their government. And they don't believe the system works for them. And frankly, the SAVE Act, if that doesn't pass, if we don't end machines and go back to same day voting, paper ballots, smaller precincts, hand counting, voter ID, if we don't get to that, this country is lost. It is permanently lost until, you know, we have the next 1776 moment.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's the reason why they've done all of this, to make sure that our elections can be manipulated. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Americans who don't even understand this. And it's so frustrating. You know, we played in the open of the show, Nick Shirley going out there and talking to Californians about their elections. And there's a woman who's going into a UPS store. And he's like, hey, lady, did you know that there's like multiple registered voters inside of this UPS store? And they're using these like pillboxes to register. And she's like, I'm not participating in your MAGA narrative, and stormed off. And it's like, lady, don't you care about your elections? Because they could be voting for MAGA candidates and just using these bogus boxes. But she stormed off. She was so enraged, so upset. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we're up against. And you know, we're going to keep pushing back on all things related to this. But Anne, thank you for jumping on with us today. You did an incredible job at breaking down that report for us. So we are always honored. Folks, if you're not doing so, make sure you do just that. Head on over to X, give her a follow. At Anne Vandersteel is where you can find her on Twitter. Again, she's an incredible independent journalist. We highly recommend you do just that. Anne, thank you for being with us today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Brianna. Have a good day.
You as well. You as well. Folks, we're going to be taking your call in the third hour of the program, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call in on, because we want to hear you weigh on the topics we've discussed thus far. Again, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. All right, let's talk a little bit more about the FBI. There's a new report coming out that investigators over at the FBI are refusing to work with Minnesota local law enforcement, and they're not going to be coughing up any evidence and sharing that. That is according to the Daily Mail. Now, based on all this report, it looks like local PD is not very happy. But again, the Bureau is refusing to hand over any evidence to local officials. Now, again, this makes sense given the fact that you can't trust them. They are obviously not there to have law enforcement's back at the federal level. We know that they've been called off from helping out to assist federal agents. So why would you open up this avenue to allow local police, which I'm pretty sure is run by the governor, which would be Tim Walz, to be able to infiltrate this investigation? It makes sense. You don't share information. You don't share evidence when you know that there's corruption in the state of Minnesota. And so for the FBI's sake, yeah, this is probably a good move. Now, those internally are saying that in Minnesota that no, you got it. But the reality is the feds don't actually have to share anything with Minnesota officials. And given how politicized this has all become, I think that's probably for the best. That's definitely for the best. Now, folks, there's a lot happening all around the country as we continue to dive into the headlines. I wanted to make sure you guys were ready on the very latest. Laura Loomer actually dropped a report. And let's get to this. This is regarding Tony Gonzalez. Now, we'll get into the endorsement in just a second. But Laura Loomer has come out and she says that we could expect a report to drop very, very soon in regards to Gonzalez. Now, in case you're unfamiliar, let me give you a little bit of a backstory on all of this. Tony Gonzalez, who is a representative in Texas, had a staffer, and there was allegations between the two that the Tony Gonzalez congressman and this staffer were having an affair. Now, this staffer later committed suicide by setting herself on fire in front of her property, and that is how she passed away. Obviously, very devastating and horrific. Now, both of them, according to reports, were married, and Tony Gonzalez, I believe, has 6 kids with his wife. So this is kind of crazy. This is kind of crazy. Now, according to Loomer, this is the scoop that she dropped on the web. She says that there's going to be a devastating report that comes out regarding the GOP congressman and his former staffer. Now, again, she's not really citing specifically what, but sources tell her that there's alleged text messages between the two and ring camera footage that is going to put a lot of this narrative into question. Now, here's the interesting part in all of this. And I know the guy who's running up against Tony Gonzalez probably isn't very happy about this. I know Loomer tags him and says that, you know, he could do like a little victory lap and all of it, but it's nothing to be proud of. Tony Gonzalez, for those on the ground, just go with that. They don't like Tony. Many of them believe he's a rhino, that he sold out the people in this country. And they're not fans of Gonzalez. Keep that in mind. Now, here's the really, really disturbing part in all of this. When President Trump, who just recently endorsed, back in December 2025, Gonzalez, I was enraged. Enraged. Yes, they're just allegations. But yes, you need to wait for an investigation to go underway. You don't sit there and sandbag. And this is my problem with these endorsements. It's sandbagging the other ones who are trying to primary those who aren't good candidates. You know, when we sit here and we talk about draining the swamp, you have to get rid of all the political filth. And primaries are supposed to do just that. And I'm not talking about primaries that President Trump endorses, those challenges. I don't really care to weigh in on that. I think that we, as the people of this country, the American people, should be able to weigh in on our own primaries with the president trying to move the needle. Endorsing Tony Gonzalez is going to come out as being a massive, massive mistake for the president. And I don't understand why we do this. Allow those who live in the district to decide for themselves. I don't like weighing the scales. I don't like going out there and throwing our names behind things. Let the people who live there decide for themselves. Tony Gonzalez has not, as many people who live in the area will tell you, does not represent Texans in that region. And we continue to allow people like him to have a job. This is why D.C. is so corrupt. And it's not just Gonzalez, it's others. Mike Lawler from New York, the president continues to go behind and just posts on Truth Social. And Lawler is literally pushing for amnesty. And it's not just him, it's Maria Salzer, who's also another one who's been pushing for amnesty. And just a week after she sat there and said, oh, my gardeners, we must keep them. The nannies, we must keep them. That same woman, by the way, who's made multiple appearances, there was a major one just a few years ago over at the WEF, the World Economic Forum. That one I went after her for. But she's, in my opinion, she's not a good person to be representing the American people. And so what do I mean by that? Well, she's obviously pushing amnesty for a reason. For a reason. And I want to hear that her district is hard to run in, so you gotta, don't care. Don't care. Don't care. And the president shouldn't be stepping in on that. Because you're endorsing, essentially, amnesty. It's a package deal. And Maria Salazar is another one. So when I saw that one, I was just enraged. He makes a ton of just poor endorsements. We don't need them. We don't need them. Let primaries be handled internally, and I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. So that's that. It looks like, and I hope that report comes out soon. I don't know why we're endorsing candidates without seeing all the information. I would highly recommend that we should see all the information. But again, the times we live in are quite, quite concerning. Folks, where's Seth Rich's laptop? I keep asking that question, and we don't really hear any answers. I'm going to try to team up with the person who's been going after all of this. But again, we're not hearing anything in regards to Seth Rich's laptop. And it wouldn't be to the right's political advantage to continue to suppress that information from coming out. It wouldn't be. So the fact that we haven't seen any information from Seth Rich's laptop, I'm going to keep renewing that. We have to. We can't let up on this story. This is one of the many stories that we need to continue to push. Because again, I mean, Seth Rich was brutally murdered. And for some reason, we have people on both sides who want to continue in the cover-up. I mean, no one's been arrested for Seth Rich's murder. And so again, I'm not going to insert any type of my theory into all of this. We know that the family was very heavy with filing lawsuits, so spare me. But can you imagine not getting justice for your child who was just brutally murdered? And there's a lot of questionable ties to very questionable individuals. Seth Rich deserves justice. The FBI was ordered to hand over his laptop, and they still have not done just that. And that is something that took place under the most transparent administration that we've allegedly seen. So yeah, it's very frustrating. I don't think it's cool, and I'm really angry at this. That's my summary on that one. I don't know if you guys saw this one either. Oh, by the way, I didn't put this one in the rundown, so this one will have to just kind of ad lib off of. There's a lot of reports going on right now, and I think I kind of briefly gave my overview as to what I think is going on behind the scenes, but there's a lot of criticism being kind of thrown over at DHS in regards to a lot of subpoenas that are being tossed around at a lot of these big tech companies. Bear with me on it. I don't think, and again, we're just going to wait till it all unravels, But I saw a lot of people talking about it on X yesterday because Discord was also recently handed over a subpoena to hand over communications. I think there's a lot of bot accounts that are foreign-based, and I think that's probably the goal in all of this, trying to see who is actually behind all of this, what country is it, because they're trying to create political discourse in this country. And so from my sources that I've spoken to, they continue to tell me that that's one of the major pushes in all of this. And thanks for getting this up, guys. I know a lot of people, especially over at the New York Times, were very upset about this. But I think it's important to dissect and to dive into and to make sure that we figure out what countries are over here trying to cause chaos and violence against ICE agents. So if these accusations are true, I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of this soon. But just keep that in the back of your heads when you watch all of this pop off. Let's have a MAHA movement right now. RFK Jr., which I'm always so interested in hearing. As many of you guys know, I'm carnivore. Every now and then I slip up and we'll eat some pasta, but it's like two ingredients only pasta. And I try to make sure that everything comes straight from Italy. But we're all flawed humans. RFK Jr. is detailing his diet. Take a listen to clip 9.
I am on a carnivore diet, so I just eat meat and ferments. And I'm very happy with that, so I'm going to probably have yogurt and...
And you mentioned that you eat a lot of fermented food. I saw somewhere, is it true that you will be cooking a steak at 6:30 in the morning with, like, sauerkraut, and that's breakfast?
I eat it with sauerkraut, yeah. I eat some kind of meat probably twice a day.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best way to live life, folks. I mean... Keep in mind, I mean, I lost 30 pounds from just going carnivore. It's probably one of the best things for you. And just make sure you get your blood work checked. But I would say I did hear one person who had like a little bit of a negative effect when he went all carnivore. But everyone else has been enjoying the benefits of meat only, no ultra processed food. We'll play in a little bit too of this clip of RFK Jr. talking about the ultra processed foods. But I mean, that stuff is such garbage. It's infuriating that we've allowed it into our food system. Our supplies. And yeah, I'm always so fascinated to hear how certain people eat. And RFK Jr. obviously being someone who clearly is in shape. I definitely listen and tune in when they talk about what they're doing. By the way, folks, I'm still working on my cookbook. It's a carnivore only cookbook and we'll have that heading your way soon. I also did a live stream the other night, last week. For those of you that missed it, you got to follow me on Rumble. It's just the Brianna Morello Show page. That's the Brianna Morello Show on Rumble. But it was kind of funny. And I know a lot of people were laughing in the chat. We were live streaming and I was participating in the chat discussions. But my alarm went off. My fire alarms went off. And I wasn't burning anything. But it did add, of course, to the my experience as a very first time live streamer while cooking, which was eventful. But there will be more of those, of course. So make sure you give me a follow on Rumble as well. Folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off site-wide. It's the mega sale, and it's going on right now. That sale is going to end in just a bit. I'll hear it. You guys are the best. Yeah. I did when I couldn't open a jar. I did step off the camera, so no one saw me struggling with opening a jar. But in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 52% off site-wide right now. You got to head on over to the shop and do just that.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, 4 or 5 great designs. They got a bigger shipment in. In just the last few days, our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it, these sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-some bucks, okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. Nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones burnt orange folding knife, and this is the knife that sold out the quickest fitting knife. They got 500 of these, 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones ring blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back, got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. But while you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more, and check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.